What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Before Insomnia, before it was Crypto and Shake Money, it was Larry K and Shake Money.
Yes, sir, man.
Fury Fam, man.
Fury Fam is in the house, bro. That's the launch pad. You have gone through much bigger heights at this point, man, but it's still down home with the Fury Fam, and I'm happy to be on this show driving through the night. Yeah. I dig it, man. I dig it.
Yeah, I'm representing.
Got the Fury Fam hat representing, man, and you know, that's the logo, man. It's undying. I tweaked it a little to put it on the hat, so we're working on merch and whatnot, man. It's great to see you having it. It looks dope. Looks fly on. Yes.
So before we get to the nuts and bolts, let's get to the intro. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back. And Larry K, of course, you're on Fury Fam. Of course, we all know members, we're going to do called a cross-examination. You are an attorney, so you are get to cross-examine. You can call BS or not. You know, your statements on how they give the answers and things of that nature, right?
Yeah, man, I'm excited about it. It's going to be members only over on the Fury Fam channel. Shake's idea. Shake is the brain trust of that channel over there, and that's a Shake idea. But I'm hyped about it, man. I have skills as an attorney to cross examine guys as they speak, and I in my own head, Shake, I'm already cross examining the coach, the GM, the owner when they speak. So to do something with you and go on a show and do it for members, I think is going to be cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a few questions about as far as attorneys that I've been meaning to ask you. Like, for instance, Biden, pardoned some people and then a commuted sentence. What's the difference between pardon and commuting someone's sentence? And real quick, I'm going to give you my definition and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think when you commute someone's sentence, that means you just end their sentence faster, but they still face whatever charges they have, where a pardon, all is forgiven.
Yeah, it's basically true. I mean, a pardon is basically you're excusing the crime altogether. So that crime is like off the books. They never really were convicted of that crime. They're pardoned for that crime. You know, any consequence you may have as a result of that crime, not just sentence, but everything is pardoned. Whereas a commutation of the sentence is exactly like you said. You still got the conviction of the crime. You still might have to face other consequences from committing the crime and having it on your record, but your sentence is over. You don't have to do the time anymore. You don't have to stay in jail or any of that. So commuting a sentence is saying, hey, you're still convicted of the crime, but you don't have to serve any time.
Okay. All right, let me ask you two things that's stereotypes, especially on the prosecutor side, is the fact that a lot of them are being accused of, they don't care if the person is innocent or not, they just want that notch on their belt of convictions. In my opinion, I think that's malpractice, like medical malpractice, in my opinion. Putting somebody in jail because you want that notch on your post, I think is irreprehensible. But do you think that happens, or is that a stereotype that people like want to read into, like in book the TV shows?
I think it's a stereotype that has become more prevalent in our society as we've been more skeptical of like law enforcement and the court system in general. That stereotype of the prosecutor just looking to get another stat and just put somebody in jail has grown. That being said, just like any profession in this world, which is very unfortunate, any bad or nefarious person can get in any position, whether it's a police officer, a prosecutor, a judge, a doctor. I mean, any bad person could try to find their way into any profession and abuse that power. So there have been examples of prosecutors in the past who have done that. And you said it was malpractice. The actual word is, I mean, it's unethical, and you will be disbarred, not just from being a prosecutor, but disbarred from being an attorney if you get caught putting an innocent person in jail that you knew was innocent. A good example of that is the Duke LaCrosse case. I don't know if people remember, but the young men that were accused of rape on the Duke LaCrosse team years ago, that turned out to be completely false and fabricated. And the prosecutor who presided over prosecuting those young men in the Duke lacrosse case was disbarred. He's not even an attorney anymore because he was trying to cover up evidence and, like, you know, facilitate the conviction for his own political gain. And those people deserved a better look because they were actually innocent. And because of that, he was disbarred. He's not allowed to be a lawyer anymore. When you take the oath to be a prosecutor, you have to do justice and you have to be truthful. And one of the things that, you know, the difference between a defense attorney and a prosecutor is defense attorney, neither one can lie ethically. That's just a fact. People joke about lawyers lying and all that. You're not allowed to lie. Now, again, if some bad people get into the profession to lie, they get caught, they get kicked out of the profession. But neither side's allowed to lie. But the difference is a defense attorney, their main objective is to just advocate for their client, do what's ever best for their client, no matter what that means. Prosecutor's job is to do whatever is best for justice overall, the community, the defendant, the victim, everybody. So in theory, and it's not just in theory, it's supposed to be in practice all the time. A prosecutor, if they get evidence that somebody's innocent, not only are they supposed to dismiss the charges if that evidence comes to them, they're supposed to actively look at all the evidence to see if there's a chance the person's innocent. And if there's evidence that would help the accused, or if they come across something that leads them to believe they're truthfully innocent, they have to give that evidence to the defense attorney. And if they don't, that's another way you'll get disbarred. And they have to also act on behalf. If the guy's innocent, he's innocent. When I was acting as a in Essex County, New Jersey, I had to take the police accused somebody of a crime he didn't commit. The defense attorney brought it to my attention. I had to look at it and then bring it to my bosses, and we got it dismissed because he was innocent. So that's part of the job of a prosecutor. I think nowadays there's a lot of stereotypes as if every rank and file prosecutor in the country is just signing up to lock people up and they want to win. That's not the oath you take. That's not what's correct. And if you get caught, you know, going against that oath and trying to put somebody who didn't do it in jail, you know, if you know about it or get caught trying to cover up evidence or anything like that, or get caught lying, you're going to be kicked out of being a prosecutor and probably kicked off of being a lawyer.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that, man. And let me ask you this then. I remember I was watching the In the Blender episode I did today with remember we did the last episode of mm-hmm. season two. And I forgot there was a test you took that you that kind of was kind of like it's kind of like a test where to see your logic, whatever, and your, you know, so you did yes. that test and you went through many hours. LSAT. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And you did a lot of things. Have you ever come across an attorney where you'd be like, how did he pass that?
the answer is and I'll just put a disclaimer out just because, you know, like I'm not speaking for where I currently right. work. I'm not speaking for any other person, any other organization. I'm speaking as a private citizen, Larry K, yeah. just as a personal dude on my personal time talking. You have to say that. But the answer is yes, my bro. Yeah, I've encountered lawyers where I'm wondering how they passed that. Did they take it a couple times? How'd they pass the bar? Yeah, bro. There's some lawyers out there that I've wondered, like 100%. Yes. yes. it's rough, bro. It's rough. Yeah. I wouldn't say that's a lot of them. I'd say most people, most lawyers are competent enough, but there's definitely some that you look at side eye like, what in the hell is going on with this dude? Or the, you know. So
all right, cool. And by the way, I wanna later on we're gonna get into Larry and Logic, your Rutgers podcast and the other ventures that you have you know, but first let's get to a few football games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have, Crypto, who's here on Cuban time. I think he's, I'm rubbing off on him.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? What's up, Larry K? Okay.
Kicking.
What's going on? So I'm glad you're here. So now we're getting to our first game.
All right.
The Browns, 3-13, 11-5. And I'll tell you what, here's the thing. If Browns have 12 wins, would have won 12, you know, had 12 wins, add 12 wins to the Browns record, there'll be a winning team, which we beat in December. And according to Crypto, there was polar bears in the parking lot. So it was in the freezing cold in December. So we busted three nips there. What do you think, Crypto?
No, actually, it wasn't. It warmed up.
Yeah, the Browns. If the Browns, you know, I think the Browns would had a winning record, they'd be a Super Bowl contender. So we beat a Super Bowl contender. In December, we're busting narratives. No, but anyway, we have the Browns taking on the 11-5 Ravens. This is a no brainer. Baltimore is favored by 20. This is the largest spread I've seen in a long time. Browns, yeah, damn, Baltimore favored by 20 points. Holy moly!
Right.
Cleveland is Cleveland plus 1200.
Wow.
You can win a lot of money betting 100 on them. That's like 12 stacks, right?
Yeah.
You bet $100, you get $12,000. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So we don't need to really get too much into this game. I know I got Browns crypto. I mean, I got Ravens crypto. Who got Browns? Who you got, Larry?
I got Ravens, bro.
Not a chance. Get the brownies.
Come on. You were at their stadium yesterday. You're going to bet against them?
Oh, yeah, for sure. they got the objective. they snuggled into that second spot of the draft pick, so they're not trying to risk it. They're not going to pull the New York Giants.
No.
By the way, Crypto is a frequent member of the Happy Hour podcast. So.
Oh, yeah. I know that. When, even just looking at the thumbnails, I'll see Crypto on there, and I listen.
Yeah, for sure.
We have the 8-8 Steelers. This one is this one is worthy of the W game of energy of the week. W game. Breaking news. Heat suspend Jimmy Butler for conduct 7 games for conduct detrimental to the team. Holy crap. Wow. Mm. That turned ugly fast. Mm. Anyway,
yeah, it is.
We have the 8-8. Okay, sorry. I got off track with Jimmy Butler. But anyway, let me get back on track. W game. W is a great energy. It comes in a little tub. You add a scoop to 8 ounce glasses of water, so you're not getting all those chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You get focus. You get energy without the crash. At the end of the day, one cup. Does me good. I love it on the weekends. Well, not now, but when during the summertime and I have to mow the lawn, especially down here in Florida, Calio Cream, click the link. You get 10% off your first order. Drudge Sludge is an apple sludge is another one. Tastes like just like an apple Jolly Rancher.
That's the one I want.
So with that being said, man, it's the 8-8 Bengals taking on the 10-6 Steelers are fighting for the fifth seed and the division. Yeah. If Ravens lose, which I doubt that's going to happen, but right. They're fighting for the fifth seed. Let's just say they're fighting for the fifth seed, and Bengals are fighting for their playoff hopes if mm-hmm. we lose and the Broncos lose.
Right.
So they're on a wing and a prayer as well.
Game, man. That's going to be a crazy. Crazy game. Where is that game?
It's going to be in Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh.
Ooh, it's in Pittsburgh.
It's going to be in the Northeast. Not just playing.
Yeah.
Well, we know that. Well, so I the Cincinnati. I've been to a game, and their home crowd is great. So that would have been Cincinnati big lift. But it's in Pittsburgh, and they got a great home crowd. Cincinnati's fighting for their playoff lives. They've got some injury questions. Joe Burrow's been great despite the defense being terrible all year. You know, Pittsburgh is shaky. Even though they've had a good year, they got a good record. I'm going to take the Bengals here. They're fighting for their playoff lives. They're fighting for pride. They got a lot of pride. And right. Pittsburgh has seemed shaky in some games. I'm going to take the Bengals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bengals?
Bengals, all right.
You mean,
I concur. Yeah. I'm going to go with that, Bengals.
I'm going with the Hall of Fame coach. I think here's what's going to happen. Bengals are going to lose, and Brian Flores is going to be the next head coach.
Good for them if he is, man.
Yeah, look, I say there's two options. I would say if they fire him, there's two candidates that I could see a possibility. The Bengals I mean, for Bengals, the Brian Flores could be a possibility, but another one is Joe Brady from the offensive coordinator. Look what he's doing with Josh Allen. And remember, Joe Brady was his offensive coordinator in LSU.
That's a good point. And I, you know, with the way he's been, they might an offensive coach continuing with that might be good for Cincy. I'm curious to see what happens with them. I mean, they got a lot of talent. That quarterback is the real deal, in my opinion. They just got to get their act together. We'll see what happens.
Because he could polish up their defense. Yeah, he'll be instantly fixing the problem.
True.
Correcting it literally right away. Because the offense is not an issue.
No.
So that will be the fastest fix for the Bengals to get a defensive-minded head coach.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Here's a game that I think we could we don't have to really talk too much into. The 9-7 Texans taking on the 3-13 Titans, the team that we have a hard time beating, our boogeyman,
right,
with or without Vrabel. I heard Miss Finn's talking about, if Mike Vrabel goes to the Jets, they always beat us. I'm like, Titans have beaten us without Mike Vrabel too. So
Titans beat us no matter what.
Yeah, right.
I'm taking.
They're in a third spot, right? So I'm going to take Houston.
Yeah, I'm taking Houston.
Houston gets back in the snide. They get back to the winning.
Yeah. They got to get back in their groove, and that's a good opportunity for them to do it.
I concur.
In that game.
So Texans all around.
Yeah.
All right. The NFC South battle, the 4-12 Panthers taking on the 8-8 Falcons.
I'm taking the Falcons are a fight. Are they in the playoff conversation or no?
They do. They need to win, and what's them has to lose.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how they get in.
I'm definitely taking them.
Had they won and made that field goal, they will be in control of their destiny. Meaning, all they need to do is just win. That field goal was a big, huge blow to them because they lost control of their destiny when he missed it. I'm like,
yeah.
It's going to be in Atlanta. Atlanta is given 7.5 points. So
yeah, I'm taking ATL.
I'm going to take Atlanta in this one because they're going to see what it's like to be waiting to see and waiting on the Tampa game.
Yes.
So yeah.
Which is next.
More drama. Where
Tampa is taking on our old special teams coach, Darren Rizzi, and the Saints taking on going to Tampa Bay, taking on the Buccaneers. Which, by the way, the Buccaneers will be here next year, and so will the Saints.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. Both teams, we're gonna see both.
So the Bucs, if they lose, there's a real risk with Atlanta lurking. The Saints
go marching in.
That was a wild game. Remember how the first matchup against them was? Well, they score like 12 or 21 straight, and then the Saints scored a 27 unanswered, and then what's called came back and scored another 27 unanswered. It was wild. It was like a wild finish to that game.
Yeah, and it's in division. I mean, the Bucks are better right now. They're playing better. They gotta try to seal their ticket, punch their ticket. Where is this one?
It's in Tampa.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucs.
Sunny Florida.
Sunny west side of Florida. I'm taking the Bucs.
Yeah. All right.
I would say the Bucs, but I really want the Saints to win so Falcons can get that last spot. Not the last spot, but they'll be the fourth seed if they win. So.
Wow.
Yeah. They jump to the fourth seed. So,
that's
the
crazy stuff with the divisions, like division winners.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of automatically. Love my issues.
No Lord in number four.
Yeah.
That conference is wild. You can have the seventh seed with 12 wins.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
The fifth seed was locked in at 14 wins.
That's why it's a whole other conversation, but I hate the seeding with the division winners because to me it doesn't make any sense. Everybody has a different schedule except
they should
the divisions like
them. Yeah.
Should be seeded by record. I mean, come on.
Kind of like how the NBA does it.
Exactly.
Yeah, like
he does it, Shake. Exactly.
Right. They seed it by record. You can still win your division. They automatically get you in, then they reseed you.
Yes.
After once you make it.
And that's like even that's like college basketball too. Like they still seed it based on how good you are, not on what you win. Like it just
right.
It doesn't make any sense in my personal opinion. Like winning a division, if it's the worst division, if it's the worst right. division, it was easier for you to get there, and then your record's not even as good. Like why are you getting you know a higher seed over a team that has 11 or 12 wins because they lost their division by one game in a tougher division? It doesn't make any
sense. That's what's about to happen with Minnesota and the Lions.
Yeah.
That's what is about to happen to them, too.
Kind of like the St. Louis Rams. I remember one year the St. Louis Rams went into the playoffs, hosted a playoff game with a 7-9 record.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, the Seahawks did, too. The Seahawks were like the first team to do it.
Seahawks did. And they won. Yeah, Seahawks did.
Yeah, but they won that game, yeah.
Yeah, the Rams did, too.
I'm fine with them getting in the playoffs if you win your division. That's fine, even with a losing record. But you got to be seeded.
Right, just reseed them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Like, you work your butt off to get 13, 12, 11 wins, and you don't get a home game. You got to travel to that, – that's just silly to me.
Yeah, and yeah. you got a team that's like 11-5, like the Patriots, have a team with a less win wins, you know, get in there before they do.
Yeah, I just don't agree with it. The divisions are not – they're not like conference play in college where you have to play everybody. It's not equal in conferences because not everybody plays everybody in conference. And if you're playing two games apiece in a weak division, your schedule's naturally easier than somebody in a tougher one. I just don't – I don't understand and I don't agree with like those four automatic qualifiers and then seeding higher. It's kind of just like fabricated. The divisions don't actually mean anything other than the NFL created them. So – That's bothered me for a while. It doesn't always pop up, but it will this year in the NFC, and I just don't like it. Especially those two teams, the Lions and the Vikings. I know we're going to get to that game, but they're both awesome teams. I want to see have a chance to make a run, make it interesting. One of them is not going to have a home game. It just kind of
they're going to play on the road against the Rams, Buccaneers, or Falcons.
Yeah, I
just Detroit don't like or the Minnesota Vikings, and they go have like four more wins than them.
It just doesn't make sense.
The Vikings or Lions gonna have to go on the road.
Terrible.
You gotta be in Tampa, in LA, or even in Atlanta. That's gonna be crazy. Yeah,
none of those are good traveling for those two northern teams. Come on.
Right. Yep. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think we're at Tampa, right? I got Tampa.
Yeah.
So Tampa. Yes. I got Tampa. You got Tampa.
In Tampa. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Bills and Patriots don't really need to spend too much time there. I think
Trubisky are gonna win. Not Trubisky. They ain't got Trubisky. They got Allen. They got Allen backing up Allen. So the second Allen will win.
I still say they come away with the victory.
Yeah. The Patriots can't afford to lose that game. I mean, win that game.
Yeah, they can't.
That will be a costly win.
Yeah, for no reason.
Yeah, they already got the number one seed, the number one pick. We got the Jaguars versus Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Another dogs sleep fest. I'm going with the Colts.
I'm going with the Colts too. Colts are mad after that ridiculous last week. They're going to come out and punch Jacksonville in the face.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that.
We got the Washington Commanders taking on the 7-9 Cowboys.
I think
I think whatchamacallit got the division already locked up. So I think they got the fifth seed locked up, the Commanders. So I don't think the Commanders really care about this game.
That is true.
Washington is given 6 points.
No, they got the sixth seed. Not the Commanders do. They only get as high as six.
Yeah, the sixth seed or the fifth seed?
No, the fifth seed is guaranteed by the loser of the Lions and Vikings.
Okay. So yeah, they got the sixth seed. So either way, they're locked in. You know what I mean?
No, if they lose, they can fall to seven. No, they can fall to seven if they lose.
Yeah. Okay. Who goes to six?
Because Green Bay will flip them.
Yeah.
Because Green Bay plays Chicago.
Mm.
So they have to win if they want to stay sixth seed.
Okay.
So then I'm taking them then.
Yeah, Washington then.
Right. They have to. Yeah, they have to win a game.
That makes sense. Because you don't want to go in as the lowest.
Because they will play Philly in their first game if they do.
Yeah, that'll be a good game. Good for Washington, by the way, in the playoffs and all the name change and all the nonsense they've been through.
We got a new owner.
So. Good for them. Their owner is the Devil's owner, bro, and I like him a lot. So good for them, Josh Harris.
So only one out of my three wild picks made it, and that was them. I picked them, Atlanta, and the Cardinals. Well, Atlanta still got a shot. So
yeah, I like
Commanders and them. Those are my three wild picks for the season.
Good for them. I like DC. Good for that whole. Good for them. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We don't need to spend time on this one. The 3-13 Giants taking on the 13-3 Eagles.
Bro, the Eagles, like, yo, I just want to say again, I already said it on Fury Fam, on Fanatic Fury. I don't know how you don't let Saquon go for the record. Everybody wants to see it. It's against the Giants. I mean, come on, bro. Like, what are we doing? Whatever. Eagles don't need to play their starters, though. New York is already mad that the Giants won anything, though. They don't want them to win a single more game. They don't want them to win at all.
I think the Eagles are going
to
spike them. That's why I think that the Eagles play a dirty trick on them.
I think they're trying to
lose the game and push them further down.
I don't know where this game is going to go, bro. This game is right. I don't know. I can see the Giants.
Yeah, because they're division winners, right, no matter what.
I can see the Giants winning, bro, because I just think
the Giants winning. That's what I said.
They don't care about the fans right now. They're annoyed. Locke doesn't care. You think they care? Like, they're playing for pride. They're sick of the Eagles. They just want to punch them for no reason, even though they're second stringers. And I just think that – I think the Giants are going to win it. I don't know why they won last week. And I just feel like they're going to win it and it piss everybody off on New York sports radio.
Yeah. And you know what? Drew Locke is trying to fight for a job.
Yeah. Bro, I just think the Giants.
Well, we're gonna get a job with the Giants because if they do, end up picking that quarterback.
I'm still mad that Saquon can't even play for a half to try to get that record, but whatever.
Yeah, they're not gonna risk it.
No,
because he should have got it in 16 games.
Yeah, I think in a diabolical way, I think the Eagles might lose just because they're stuck. They're kind of locked with their division.
They're locked like the Bills. They literally like the Bills. They
can't. Yeah, let's keep the Giants in purgatory with a later draft pick.
Unless you need a quarterback. I already know. And Giants fans would be so mad.
Right.
And you get to be there to listen to it.
That's fun. I guess I can't wait for sports radio. That's what I'm saying. It's gonna be fun.
Sports radio in New York for you.
It's always fun, bro. Yeah. Unless the Jets beat us, then it sucks. But we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah, they'd be talking about it. Yeah.
Oh, man. We got the Bears and Packers, which, by the way, Pete Carroll's already putting his name in for the Bears job.
Man, Pete is wild, man. I think Pete's a good coach.
He wants to come back out of retirement.
I can't believe he's still going. I think he's just one of those guys that needs to keep working.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's afraid of dying.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, but it's true. I just think that's the type of cat he is. Because I was thinking about that today. They were talking about him even with the Jets or whatever. And I was just like, wow, he's up there, man. He's got to be mid-70s.
Yeah.
That's like Dick Vermeil. I don't know how. Dick Vermeil is probably younger and looked older when he coached the Rams. But
You know what's funny is I thought Andy Reid was the same age as Bill Belichick. He's like about 5 or 6 years younger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Belichick, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, Andy Reid's younger. Andy Reid's he's a legend at this point now. But this game,
60s.
The Packers. Yeah, how old is Reid?
He's like seven years younger than Belichick.
Mm-hmm. So he's early 60s, late 50s.
Late 60s, yeah.
So this game, man. Obviously, the Packers. There's still stuff at stake for them. They're smarting a little bit, too. They want to get into a better rhythm going in. The Bears have been a mess. I'm going with Green Bay.
He's 66 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Wow, so Bill's pretty old going to UNC, man.
Oh, yeah. 66. Hey, he knows how to pick out 20-year-olds.
It's a meme right there.
Yep.
So
yeah, they
you got the Packers. You say
they get the win. I got the Packers too.
Yeah, the Packers. Me too.
Pack attack. Wrap
and
up
by the way, next speaking of, what's that guy I mentioned? The guy who blew the Super Bowl. Coach
Carroll.
Pete Carroll. Yeah, the Seahawks is playing the Rams, And by the way, I thought, you know, the Seahawks is eliminated, officially been eliminated. They got the E next to them, so.
Oh, they have.
Yes, officially, because of the point thing or the point spread or differential or some strength. It was crazy how they ended up winning their division without even having to play them a second time.
Seahawks are given 6.5 points in this one. I think the Rams are playing a really good ball. I'm going to have to go with the Rams on this one.
Where is the game? Rams
came back and called.
It's in L.A. Man. Crypto's in L.A. too.
Yeah, and if they're eliminated, the Seahawks, what does it matter? I'd say
it's a beautiful stadium, you say, right, Crypto?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, I can imagine.
The best in the league.
I can imagine that.
The layout's perfect.
And you said, like, it's – and the cool thing is it's underground. It's kind of like underground, right, you said?
Yeah, half of the stadium's underground, yeah.
That's cool. That's crazy. I got to see it.
The street, when you walk in off the street level, you're already on the third level.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's actually really
cool. When you walk in from the street level, you're actually on the third level.
That's cool.
So it's actually underground.
Wow.
The playing field is underground, yeah.
Wow.
It's nice, though.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I guess to kind of prevent earthquakes or something like that from it crumbling or something like that.
I mean, it could be part of it, the design to make it earthquake proof. Try to build it into the ground, you know, versus on top. Reduce the structural damage.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's possible. And that the Falcons stadium is like that too. When you go to Falcons, you notice when you're walking in, you're on the second level when you walk in. From what I remember for that stadium. So the Falcon Stadium is like that too.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to the Chef Juice special, a few more questions that we previewed for Larry. You're a man with many hats. You have your Larry and Logic podcast. You have the Rutgers podcast. You do photography. Which one do you, all right, what went into the Larry and Logic podcast? What made you want to jump into that venture? And because I listened to the Trump one you did about Trump, the lawsuits and everything that one thing I liked about you is I could tell that you weren't pro or anti-Trump. You were just calling it like how, you know, you were just reporting what was going on and giving your professional opinion on the matter.
Look, the Logic and Larry podcast, you could type it into Google, type it into any major podcast platform, the Logic and Larry podcast. It'll come right up on every major, you know, podcasting platform. Go check it out. It's a current events and news podcast. And basically, Shake, it came about during the pandemic. 2020, we were all on our phones talking to each other and kind of communicating apps. So
confined to... Yeah, social media. Yeah.
So I decided I had kind of done podcasts in the past. I did the Blatant Minority. I did a couple other ones when I was younger. I obviously had the microphones and everything like that because I do music. And that intro you guys hear at the beginning of my show, the Pick Up the Phone Late Night with Larry K, that's me rapping on the mic. That's my beat. That's me playing the keys. So I kind of had that background. I decided, let me do a radio show. I wanted to always do an old school type radio show, like audio only, no visual, with the jazz music playing and just talk. Mm-hmm. I think there's a real lack in our society of objective discussion of the news. Like everything has a slant or an agenda or a bias or some kind of thing that they're trying to communicate in a way that people that want to hear or don't want to hear are going to listen to. I wanted to set out and just say, here's the topic. Here's the news item, and here's like an objective, legitimate analysis of it that doesn't go towards the left or go towards the right. If it happens to be that the right is more correct on that issue, so what? If it happens to be the left is more correct on that issue, so what? I'm just going to talk about the merits of the issue, and that's what the Logic and Larry podcast is. I believe in that as a person. Like, I try to bring that into sports talk, and I try to do that in my daily life, but I just think smart people, which is pretty much everybody's capable of it, if they really wanted to, they could look at any issue or any news and just follow the facts and the information and come to the best conclusion without trying to twist it to make it fit their narrative on the left or the right of the political spectrum. And just if we could do that together, we would all make better decisions. We'd argue much less because we all know there's a basic truth in there. So that's what the Logic and Larry podcast is. Whenever I used to do it more frequently, once a week, I used to do it live. But you know me, Shake, I'm always running around and it gets out of hand. I can't do it all the time. So now I just try to do like episodes whenever I can about all the current events that have been going on in the world. I try to advocate for just logical thinking over emotional thinking, analyzing it without political bias and trying to come to the best conclusion possible. And that's why I do the Logic and Larry. There's no logic. It's just me. It's just the Logic and Larry. Like logic is my sidekick in the abstract sense.
Yeah.
Being logic, but there's no person logic. It's just logic itself.
You know? And of course I guarantee you, I'm willing to bet money that you've been accused of by both sides of being one or the other.
Bro, all the time. And all you got to do, Shake, you're on my Facebook, just scroll through it sometimes. Some people are accusing me of being a right winger and a bootlicker and this and that on the left. And some people are accusing me of being a far left liberal and a libtard and whatever else. They both give it to me, and I argue with both sides because honestly,
and that would be the Jesse Ventura part of it.
Yes, bro.
The criticism that you get.
Yeah, my thing.
You're getting these Ventura treatment. That's what they call it.
Crypto is if you're always coming down every single time. It just so happens you always come down on the same side. Chances are you're wrong about some things because one side's not right about everything. So I get it from both sides. I like to poke at both sides and point out their flaws, like Socratic method. Like, have you ever thought about this or seen this? Because there's so much groupthink and bubble, you know, echo chambers on both sides these days. I like to try to burst their bubbles and make them think outside the box. So, Shake, 100%, right. I get accused by both sides. People have listened from both sides and kind of hung up and stopped listening from both sides when they get mad. And that's how you know I'm doing something right, you know?
And I told Crypto this many times, and he said it. I'm one of my political idols will be Jesse Ventura. I like him. He's independent. Another one that was like that politically, like independent, was George Carlin. He roasted both sides.
Carlin,
he did. Bro, he used to grip into liberals, grip into conservatives, and hold nothing back. And it all made sense because he was just being rational. Did you ever look at what these people do or these people do? He didn't have this political agenda. I loved Carlin for that. And I think actually Chris Rock does a lot of that too. I love that the brilliance in comedy and the few people in our society that's
the comedy part. That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one of his ones that stick out. It's pretty clever. When he's talking about the creation and how it all started, and as far as the ones being accused of when life begins, and he exploited it in comedy how he did it. It was funny. It was pretty brilliant how he did it when you think about it. What he was saying when it came to it, it's like wow.
Never thought about
it that way.
Like we're in Carlin, society,
how he phrased it.
Yeah,
that was clever how he phrased it.
We're in a society where comedians are pretty much like our last bastion for that logic. I try to do it as like a radio show, but sometimes you still get a lot of rocks thrown at you because I find it interesting. And this happens with football, but more so with politics. Like somebody will rock with you on political conversations as long as you're saying what they agree with. But as soon as you say something they don't, all of a sudden you're biased. You're not thinking straight, all that. But it's like, hey, did you ever think that maybe if you agree with a lot of what I say, that maybe if I say something you don't initially like, you should maybe think through it a little bit more and say, am I wrong emotionally? Should I adjust my perspective? Because I agree with this dude on everything else.
Test your own theory, yeah.
Yeah, like what are the chances he's just wrong so badly on this one issue? Or what are the chances that I maybe haven't thought it through? Because I agree with this dude whenever he's saying stuff I'm emotionally attached to. Maybe I should also listen to him when I don't want to hear it. I had to do that and adapt to learn, and it's not always easy, but you got to take in other people's points. But to Crypto's point, comedians in this day and age, they're brilliantly, if they're smart enough, they're able to say what everybody really should say because they can put it in a comedy wrapping to make everybody accept it. But really, it's just really good logic and rationality that permeates through that. And so some of those people are my favorites too, bro. Good on you for bringing it up. But, That's what Logic and Larry really is, the Logic and Larry show. I hope to expand it one day. You know, I got so many things on my list, but it's a pet project. It does well. You know, it doesn't get the same listens as the sports stuff, but I care a lot about it, and I think it hopefully it'll keep growing and go somewhere. But that's the logic behind it. It's trying to be rational about what we're seeing out there, less and less of it every day, and I'm trying to keep it real.
And last thing before we get to the next game of the week, let's talk about a little quick the Rutgers podcast. Let me ask you this: do you get as much pushback when you talk logically about the Rutgers than you do the Dolphins?
No, and I was going to say, too, it's funny, like, I've thought about this, right? So Rutgers, obviously, it's a smaller audience, you know, it makes sense. It's a more regional audience because you got a lot of Jersey people than people spread out through the country, you know, in Florida and California, but they were from Jersey, they went to school here or whatever. Rutgers has a history that's just not great. They have some good memories. They have some good accolades in certain sports.
You guys beat the University of Miami last year. That was a good
memory. No, I mean, look, we're respectable, especially right now in football. Our basketball season was really touted as going to be special. We obviously have really good Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, two NBA lottery picks on the roster, but the team's just not clicking. But I'll say that the difference is with Rutgers, I think, and look, Fury fam and the people that listen to my show and the Finns Tailgate too, they're a different breed of Dolphins fan who I think can rock with us a lot. But there's definitely a lot of people in the Dolphins community because I think the media sphere in Dolphins world, like the professional journalists and whatnot, there's this circling of the wagons with the Dolphins where there's so many narratives that get spun that people, just like I talked about with politics, like they're so emotionally attached to certain narratives with the Dolphins that if you go against that narrative, you get so much pushback because people are so emotionally attached. The stuff people say to me in the comments sometimes, the stuff they send me in messages, and then I've seen like protest unsubscribers. Right. Like all of a sudden I'll put a controversial video out and I'll lose like 10 subscribers from the Dolphins channel. You don't see that with the Rutgers channel. Like people kind of rock with you a little more, and I think the media pushes back a little more in Rutgers world where like I'm not such an outlier doing that. And there's not so many narratives that they can cling on to call me stupid or I don't know what I'm talking about or whatever. Dolphins fans, there's a lot more and there's a lot more emotional people. They react a different way. There are some Rutgers fans who are like kind of get their panties in a bunch if you knock them. But I don't think those people ever were going to listen to me anyway, so I don't have that pushback. But I definitely get that pushback with the Dolphins. As you know, Shake, you're on the show. You're part of the channel. You're part of this channel. Finn's Tailgate knows. I mean, the Dolphins world is a really interesting one. And the guys in our lane in Dolphins world who like to debate and just kind of be objective and throw new ideas out there are not always embraced. That's why I think this channel and Fanatic Fury and those channels are so important because they're providing an alternate, and it's not an alternative facts thing like political news. It's just like you can come in this lane too if you just want to keep it real. You don't have to follow the overarching media narrative in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Dolphins fans are a little more emotional and react a little bit more sometimes than the Rutgers fans. It's a different vibe.
Yeah, one thing I got to warn
Dolphins media is corrupt.
It just is, bro. You already see the Greer stuff now, like just piling on Greer. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. We can get into that another time, but it's like the media, the memes, the fan base. It's like whenever they want to direct a narrative, it goes so perfectly in Miami because the media is lockstep with it. You don't see that in other markets.
But what I was gonna say is, man, I have the reputation. You know what's funny is I have the reputation as the calm one. Oh yeah, and whenever they shake calm one. So whenever somebody wants to bring that type of discord, I welcome it. But I warn you, if you try to turn up on the gentleman underneath me, it's not gonna go so well your way.
I remember.
You might want to think twice,
bro. I remember Joe was on the show, like my show, and I had only met Crypto a couple times, and he was just going off. But Crypto's not, he doesn't go off like in a crazy way where you don't understand him. He's yelling, but he's making sense, but he's yelling because he just had enough of what you said. He's trying to, and I'm like, whoa, Crypto. And he's like, I'm sorry. I was getting the point across. Like, he can turn the hell up. I know his voice when it gets loud. Like, I can hear it, you know, like I know it. But Shake, you do a
that's
good job.
That's what made me coming to us, you know, from the military.
Shake knows how soft-spoken I am.
Yes.
Bro, Shake, like, it's funny.
With the yin and the yang, me and this guy.
Yeah, well, Shake is able to, because even on our show, bro, like, even like Lucci, like Greg will go off the handle with his rants, and then Lucci will get really into something, or you guys know some of the other people in the community like EM or people that will just get really into the weeds. And Shake, you are the type of dude, bro, and I wouldn't even call it trolling because you don't put stuff out there just to bait people. You put provocative ideas out there. You're like, well, what about this? And it's always like, even if you don't agree with it, it's something that needs to be said. It's like devil's advocate. And then you let people have their yelling and going back and forth and all that. And you'll make your point again. And you'll reiterate your point. But you don't get so attached to it that you have to spend the rest of the show talking about it. Like, you just put it out there and you say, all right, whatever. And you're good at that in the sports arena. Not everybody is, bro. Some of these shows, some of these people that call in, it gets crazy. And you are very good at just, like, putting it out there and then moving on to the next subject. And I love, that's why I love our show. Lucci has his thing. Greg has his thing. You have your thing. I have my thing. But I admire that with you on every show I see you on, even when you're a guest. You're good at that, bro. You're good at
that. And that's there's been a couple of times where me and Lucci would turn up on each other. But it's out of love and fun. It's not nothing. You know what I mean?
You and I debate when we do, and it's really good because we're not even ever turning up. Yeah. We'll go back and forth a couple times. So I love when you and Lucci go out. It's funny. Sometimes I even see you smirk. And then when it's done, he's like, all right, chill, whatever. We're all good. We're all good. And you guys obviously all love. Guys are my brothers, but it's just it's cool to see the different personalities. So I admire that.
Well, every once in a while, I like to wild up with you too. So.
Yeah. No, me too. It's all love, bro. Man, I remember I got into it with, like, I never get into it with color. And, like, I got into it with him over, like, the Tyreek arrest thing. And it was dope because I was saying it in the chat and Color was like, bro, I know you could handle this. So, like, I know you could handle a debate and not get your panties in a bunch and think we're beefing. And he was 100% right. Like, we weren't beefing. We could have a conversation and you could make a point against me and it's all good, bro. And it's the same for Greg. It's the same for Crypto. Everybody that we rock with.
But think about that incident with Tyreek. It's like, it was like 4 months. Can you believe 4 months have gone by since that incident?
It's crazy, bro. Time flies.
It seems like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You can remember it vividly as if it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
That was 4 months ago.
It's crazy.
Four months ago.
This season,
what you think about it,
man. This season is,
man.
I'll tell you my opinion on the season when we get to the Dolphins game, but just saying.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's, as I previewed before, the Chef Juice special. They changed the format of StreamYard, so it's kind of a pain in the ass. Yeah.
What's up, y'all? This is Chef Ju. Looking for a great chef for your next catering party, private party, office party, etc. with Vulcan Watering meals and desserts. Let Chef Ju Catering and Tweet Treats take care of it for you at an affordable price. Call me at 786-804-8096. Also, reach me at chefjucatering@gmail.com. Direct message on Facebook and Instagram at Chef Ju's Catering. Chef Ju's Catering and Sweet Treats. Who with a passion, we do it all.
All right.
That's right. Chef Ju.
And this, Edison.
What was it called? Apple?
In Carroll City. Carroll City Chiefs. And what were we saying, Crypto?
I said, what was the flavor of that drink?
Which drink?
The Chef Ju, not the spread, the energy drink. The Apple one. What's the not title?
It's called Apple Flush.
Apple Chuck?
Apple Sludge. Sludge.
Sludge. Okay, it's Apple Sludge. Okay. I gotta get one. Okay, so, go ahead.
By the way, I keep forgetting. Remind me after what you're calling. I'm trying to I get you a free tub. You hear me?
You can get what?
I'm going to get you a free tub, Crypto, because you're on insomnia. I got to talk to you backstage.
Okay.
With that being said, it's the game that, you know, like I say, I'm Carroll City Chiefs. So, this is my way of rooting for the Chiefs this Sunday. It's the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Denver Broncos. And funny enough, Denver Broncos is favored by 10 points.
Yeah, it's went up. It's gotten bigger and bigger each time.
It's tough. He ain't going to play. We're obviously rooting for KC, but they ain't going to play their starters. Denver's going to play for something. Yeah, I think Denver's going to win.
On the line.
I think Denver's going to win. I mean, obviously, as Dolphins fans, it would be interesting if they lost. I think they're playing the same time as us, so we're not going to know. We're going to have to be watching the scoreboard.
That's what they're doing. The scoreboard watching is going to be like crazy.
I like Denver to take care of business, but you know, you hope the Chiefs backups wanna get their reps in and maybe take it to Denver, and Denver just ain't on their game.
Here's the thing though. Denver, listen, I don't care what nobody says, Chiefs does not want to see the Bengals in the playoffs if they get hot. So
that's true.
I think if the Bengals win, the only way to ensure, because there's no guarantee that the Jets are going to lose, because there's a good chance that Aaron Rodgers will stick it to the Jets and win so they could lose their draft status as well. You know what I'm saying?
It's right. That's so another thing it plays
into. The only way to ensure that Cincinnati doesn't get into the playoffs is by letting Broncos get in.
I mean, it's possible.
That guarantees that they know for a fact that they'll never see Cincinnati. Right. In that sense, they get to control, have 100% control on whether or not Cincinnati gets in. As far as, you know, not getting in. But then since they have to do their part and win, and then the Jets have to win. But they can just say, screw all that. We're not even going to let you get to that point.
It's true.
We got to make sure. KC like, okay, we'll run a halfback toss on freaking first and 10 or whatever, or something stupid down there. Have some bonehead call that you wouldn't think Andy Reid will call.
Let's
try this play out. Let's go a double reverse.
We have our new play caller, Adam Gase. He's going to be calling the game for us today.
He's running double reverse flea flickers on his own goal line.
Oh,
like, what's he doing? Oh, man.
Yeah. This is a good game, though, man. But I'm gonna say Broncos, unfortunately, are gonna win this game.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Sean Payton makes up for his mistake on that 2-point conversion. So I think he get it done this time. Matter of fact, I think he'll even go for a 2-point conversion just to be spiteful, just to say, hey, this is what I should have did last week. Watch.
Could see it.
I think somewhere in this game he's going for a 2-point conversion to remind everybody that's what he should have did last week. So yeah, I think Sean Payton gets it done. He gets him in there.
So we don't have to get too much in this one. Chargers and Raiders. Obviously, I'm going for the Chargers.
There's no reason to talk about the Raiders.
Yep.
Raiders. Did they interview any coaches? Because I think the Jets are the only ones interviewing coaches now. So. Did the Raiders interview any coaches?
Yeah, I think they're also wanted to talk to Mike Vrabel as well.
Okay, because they're starting. They got permission to interview coaches.
Raiders fired. Did Raiders fire their head coach?
No, they were saying he wasn't coming back.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's on the out. I'm just saying they were talking it.
Okay.
But I think they already said Brian Flores could be a candidate for the Chicago job.
Wow.
Let's hope he Brian Flores picks the right job, because this is going to be his last chance.
Yep.
He'll pick one he's comfortable with, one that's already got their quarterback.
So yeah, I got the Chargers.
Me too.
Everybody else agree?
Yep.
Yeah, the Chargers. Yep.
49ers and Cardinals, 11 game that nobody cares about.
Nobody cares about that game, bro.
Yeah, they're both eliminated from the playoffs. I'm gonna say the Cardinals because it's in Arizona.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. All right,
I'll go with the Cardinals in that one.
All right, here we go. The Fanatics game of the week.
New seasons, new gear. Show the world what it means to be a fan in 100% authentic gear. Fanatics, officially licensed everything.
Not only is this for the division, it's also for the number one seed. The Vikings taking on the Lions. Two former Dolphin head coaches. Brian Flores and Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell, yep. Damn. So is this the Dolphin Bowl?
Yes.
It is, bro. Where is this game?
This is the Dolphin Bowl. Oh, my God. It's going to be in Minnesota. I think it's in Minnesota.
No, it's Detroit.
Oh, it's Detroit? Okay. All right, okay. They played the first one in Minnesota. Okay.
This is tough. Okay, got you. I think Detroit's had some injuries. I wonder about it. And I kind of want Detroit because I want Detroit to get more home games again. I just like for the fan base to get there. I kind of think the Vikings are interesting too. I'd like to see them make some noise. I think this is a great game. I know it's on the road at Detroit, but I just think the way that, you know, Detroit suffered some injuries and you've seen some fissures there in their game. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the way Minnesota's playing ball, and I could see Minnesota, you know, taking this game. And I think I'm going to take the Vikings.
Yep.
Yeah.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. Thinking about the weaknesses that San Fran was able to exploit until they finally came back and did it. I think Minnesota is better defensively.
Yeah.
To be able to match up well, to slow them down just enough for Sam Donald to find Addison and Jefferson for a few scores. I think that'll be the difference. More like a 31-24 game. I got the Vikings.
Yeah, I think I hate to say this, but I think Sam Darnold turns into a pumpkin and the Lions win.
I mean, he could. Yeah. That's always on the table. He
could. That could be this could be the game.
Yeah, that's
what they could start them spiraling out of control. And next thing you know, they're losing to the Buccaneers or the Falcons or somebody in the first round. But yeah, you're right. It can't be shake. He turns into a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't see ghosts, if he doesn't see ghosts,
that's the only unknown is the quarterback. You know what I mean?
Right. He might not see ghosts. He's the poker guy. He's Ghostbusters. He's Ray Parker Jr.
Which, by the way, the Lions offensive line, offense coordinator. You know he's gonna get some looks too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a top candidate for the new coaching job at New York. So, yeah.
So
yeah.
And with that being said, let's get to.
That's a good one.
Like I said, I listened to the last episode of Blender season 2, which season 3 will be happening in March. I remember you saying the MetLife, your best MetLife takeover was in 08 when you guys won the division and y'all went back in a shuttle bus and everybody was singing the Dolphin fight song. Of course, the Jets were being miserable as hell.
You remember, bro.
And then, of course, the worst one was the game where the spotters thought that Teddy Bridgewater was concussed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And then Scatter came in and lost that game. And then, like, they act like they won a Super Bowl or something like that again. Mm. So.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but no, being that said, I think the MetLife takeover is something that are you going this year? Or you have
more like I go every year, you know that, and we were going to go this year. You were going to come up, but the season just didn't go the way I thought it would go. If
I wouldn't even get that final travel day.
Yeah, and if tickets, I mean, look, you know, and I'm right here. I mean, I'm right around the corner, and if if tickets fell in my lap, they're pretty cheap right now. It's just like, I just don't feel the desire to go this year because I'm just not, I'm not inspired, man. And whether we win or not, I'm just not inspired. So this is one of the first ones I'm not going to in a couple of years, to be honest.
It's late in the season too.
Yeah. And it would have been fun as a Monday night or whatever. And it's just, I'm just not feeling it this year. And so I'm not going. It's one of the first I'm not going to, but it doesn't have the same juice when both the Jets and I know the Dolphins are fighting for a playoff spot, but from the Jets perspective and the fans here, and it doesn't have the same juice. Yeah. Tua's not playing for even it doesn't have the same juice on either side. So I don't think it's going to have the same juice in the stadium and in the parking lots. And I'm not going to be there. I'm sure some other people will that you guys know of, you know, but be one I miss out on, and we're going to have to link up and do it another year, Shake. But yeah, not planning on it unless something falls in my lap.
Definitely. Yeah, man. And like I said, being at the end, I hate the fact that the last game, it has to be, you know, to be determined, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Yeah. You don't really know. They flexed it out of the night. It's neither team turned out like the schedule makers thought. I mean, look,
they thought that was going to be probably perhaps for the division.
Yes.
If that's what they was probably thinking, it could be.
Yeah, for the division, or at least a dual wild card on either side or something. A dual
wild card on both sides, right? Yeah.
I mean, you don't even have a Tua-Rodgers showdown. Tua's probably not playing. So it's like, I think if this was a Monday night game and it was for something bigger, or even if the Dolphins were rolling, even if the Jets weren't, I think I would be going, and I would have got my tickets a couple weeks ago. But because it's not, it kind of just – the time switched. It fell in here. It went this way. I'd rather watch all the games on TV and follow, you know, Denver and follow the league and hang out and stay warm at home. So that's just kind of how it shook out. Yeah.
What's going to be the weather like in New Jersey?
Bundle up inside.
Cold. I think it's going to be cold now.
I think it's in the 20s.
Yeah, it's in the 20s game, now. Game, I mean, let's see. Let's see.
They say it's going to be like 35 degrees.
It'll be like in the mid 30s. No, it says no. Never mind. Yeah, mid 30s, low 26, high 36. So probably like high 20s, low 30s.
Wow,
it's been cold.
Right around the freezing level.
Yeah. It's either way. I'm not. It's weather that you don't want to go outside for.
No, I mean, and I would. I'm that kind of fan, but not when
I wouldn't mind if I was. You know what I'm saying?
If it mattered more. I don't know. If there was more juice. I lost a lot of juice with this team this year for a lot of reasons. You know, limping the playoffs or not, I lost a lot of juice.
Yeah. It'll take a lot of steam out of you.
Yeah, the whole season. Like the way, you know, it's just not been good play and any real side of the ball. The star players aren't shining necessarily. The quarterback's been in and out. The coaches, I don't have the most confidence. It's just nothing. Yeah, we might limp into the playoffs, which is interesting. And I don't think so, because I think Denver beats KC anyway, but it just – I lost a lot of luster, and I'll be back at it next year like I always am with the Dolphins, but I lost a lot of luster this year where this game just ain't hitting for me.
We get to have a conversation all over again.
It's still the Jets, Crypto. It's still a rival. I'm still rooting for us to beat them just because the Jets want nothing more than to just beat us, and the worst thing that could happen –
that's what a lot of people are missing in sense for them to do what we did to them just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, they want that. And by the way,
we put an E by their name by beating them.
Yes.
Why is they don't have the same motivation?
Of course they do, because they would like nothing more, and their fans would definitely not like nothing more than for Denver to win and then them beat us.
All the Jets are giving up. Well, if they were playing Buffalo, but they're playing a team that just recently eliminated them from the
playoffs. And they hate us. The Jets fans, there's no love lost between Jets and Dolphins fans. There's so many Dolphins fans in the New York, New Jersey area. Jets fans can't stand it. They want to beat us. I don't know how the team feels, but, you know, they want to beat us. And I don't know. I mean, it's cold weather. The Jets are just bad. I still think we win. I think the Dolphins win, but I can see the Jets winning. I can see us collapsing. I think we win. And I think it's enough to save a lot of this team, even if Greer's gone. I think Ross uses it as an excuse to run it all back again, and you're going to have all these fake narratives about, you know, what if Tua was healthy all year? What if this? What if that? What if that? What if this? And we're going to get everybody all hyped again. I still am not a big believer in what's going to happen with this team with this current makeup, but I think the Dolphins can win. I think they can pull it off. I think you're going to have Some of the fans that just love going every game, which is usually me, except this year, I think they're going to be in the building. You're going to see a lot of Dolphins fans. And I think we take care of business against the reeling Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers is done in New York. I know a lot of fans think he might come back and want to see him come back. I think it's over. I think the Jets, I hope they don't hire Vrabel because I would like that hire a lot for them. And I think they're ready to turn the page. I think the Dolphins are going to play their butts off because I think they know they're not turning the page fully regardless. I think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. They're not going to know what's happening with Denver either way, so they need the game. And, you know, some of the things that Huntley was able to do last week and some of the things that they were able to do on defense, I think the Dolphins take care of business against the Jets. I don't think it's ultimately enough because I think Denver wins, but I do think they take care of business in Jersey.
And who's that? I forgot. You know that they're interviewing that GM that all the Dolphin fans want to.
Reddick.
Yeah, Lewis Reddick.
Yeah, the Jets might come away with a really nice setup there. And Woody will still probably find some way to screw it up long term. But I do think in terms of the Dolphins, and just my personal opinion, I think the Dolphins are going to miss an opportunity if they don't seize on the chance to make a change. I think what we're going to see with the Dolphins is getting rid of the GM and keeping the coach. So now you limit your GM search because they got to want to work with the coach. Then you're going to get rid of the coach in 2 years and you're going to have to limit your coach search again because they got to work with the GM. And I just think Ross can't get out of his own way. I think the best thing to do if Ross is convinced that he wants to keep everybody is to keep everybody, including Greer, and just roll with it one more year and then get rid of everybody at the same time. I think any half measure is pointless. And I really hope he either keeps everybody or gets rid of everybody. The Jets are now going to have another chance to reset and they could get some really good people in the building. And that's never good if you're a Dolphins fan because the Patriots are going to pick high. They're not going to be down forever. And the Bills are right now the kings of the East. So if the Jets get even marginally better, it's really bad news for the Dolphins. So, you know, it's a rough time right now from where I'm standing and based on what I think about these teams. It's just frustrating.
And I tell you what, the best case scenario for the Jets is that now that Trump is in office, hey, I need you back in England.
Yes.
So he's gone from New York for another 4 years and let the team, you know, do what they have to do.
I agree with you. A lot of Jets fans think that too.
You know. No, hey, Trump, send him back to England for 4 years.
Yeah, bro. A lot of Jets fans have been, you're no joke, they've been talking about that on sports radio a lot. They want it to happen.
Oh, man. That'd be crazy. And yeah. And so I guess you're saying the Jets is like your most hated team because you're in the area.
Yeah. Yeah, by far. I mean, by far.
Who you got in this game? Who you got in this one?
Oh, I got Miami.
Yeah, me too. Crypto?
I guess I'm an oddball out. I think the fast track any change. I'm not saying because I want it to happen. It's more so it needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because any false sense of hope, well, wins become losses and losses become wins. I think, in essence, a loss becomes a major win.
I agree.
To fast track change. Any win gives a false sense of security and blind hope for this team going forward to perpetuate yet another season of keeping the same thing in place without putting everybody on the hot seat. I think not only we have to lose this game, we have to lose this game badly in an embarrassing fashion to fast track it. To say we really had no shot to even survive, even if we made the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what has to happen to fast track change.
None other than
Aaron Rodgers need to do that and realize that. And because they choked the last three weeks ago against us in that final drive and not scoring that touchdown and running out of bounds that allowed more time on the clock for us to tie it and eventually go to overtime. I don't think the Jets make that mistake this week.
And they are home, Crypto. I mean, I hate to say it as a Dolphins fan.
I think they're thinking about the final four minutes of the fourth quarter and in overtime.
Yeah.
As their motivation on why they should have beaten us 3 weeks ago.
And by the way,
I was with everybody.
Yeah, and by the way, Crypto, that would hurt the Jets' draft pick. So the Jets fans, I'd still rub it in their face. It still wouldn't help them. And if they tell
that's the flip side of it. Yeah. they dropped another three. I think they'll drop by three slots. They'll be like picking 10th or something at that point. Yeah. That'll hurt their chances. Yeah. That hurt their draft position. So I'm thinking just more so of a strategic thing where if we don't think we're playoff ready anyways, because remember, the first six seeds are already been clinched in the AFC already. It's just that final seven seed hasn't yet.
We got to go at the Bills.
Now, if you go team by team, nobody realistically think we can buy either of the six teams that's above us.
Nah.
So and that would be delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, I agree.
In that sense.
I agree with
you. You know, yeah. So in order for change to happen, the Jets have to not only beat us, they have to beat us like they did 2 years ago when they beat us 41-19. It has to be a game like that. You know, in order for them to say, hey, Stephen Ross, and say, hey, maybe we need to do this. This whole rumor about Chris Greer being fired, maybe that comes to fruition to be the first domino effect. If the Jets just do their part. The Jets would need to do their part.
Yes. I don't know if I believe in the Jets to do it, but I kind of hope they do, Crypto. It's sad to say, but that's where
That's what I'm saying, Larry. That's what I'm saying. They have the potential because of Aaron Rodgers, because they showed they was able to take us to overtime, even though they lost the game. Because remember how the Jets were when they had bad quarterbacks.
Yes.
How we was able to beat them with no problems.
Yes.
But they had a competent quarterback. They had a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes.
And it took us to overtime just to beat them then. Now we're using our backups, and we don't have Tua to come back and have a long drive to tie a game each time and to get two-point conversions and stuff like that. So we would need almost like a perfect game from Huntley and everything else to fall to have the same outcome. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. Well, if Tua played this great game against them, took us to overtime 2 weeks ago just to beat them. And
no, you're right.
We need Huntley to almost have not that performance, but a better performance on the road in 20-degree weather where we know how our receivers play in those conditions and how our offensive line play in those conditions. They start getting a little tight. They start freezing up, missing blocks, getting holding penalties because they're grabbing somebody. You know, it's just – who knows? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the elements play more of a factor in this game than our 80-degree win against them 3 weeks ago.
True.
You know.
And one thing I said on our first season of LG shaking the panel, this is before Lucci was there, that year we made the playoffs and then Tua got hurt, we went with Skyler. I feel like us going to the playoffs is like going to Disney during a thunderstorm.
Yes. So true. Yeah.
Yes. So
what's the point, bro?
That's a good point. Going almost to Disney, wish you going didn't to thunderstorm. Kind of wishing you would have.
Yes.
You can't go on the road. Can't even go on the rides. You can't go in the water parks.
Yeah, and you're raining. Cover. I'd be rather be home watching the other playoff games without the worry than watch us get beat by the Bills again.
All the water parks are closed when it's lightning outside, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to go jump in a swimming pool when it's a lightning?
No, exactly. Exactly.
So yeah. So it'll behoove us to kind of, I know it's a moral victory to say we made the playoffs, but really who are we kidding? It's more so like we need to do what the Giants should have did. You know, skin it over with. Get your pick. Because I think we're picking 14th now, I think. Mm-hmm. If we lost, we go as high, I think, as 11 if the Bengals lose.
That's not bad either.
Still on, right. We can still get as high, close to a top 10 pick, even with the loss. That's what I'm saying. So we can move up three more slots. If the Bengals the Bengals don't lose, because we already think the Bengals are going to beat the Steelers. So we'll leapfrog them because they'll have one more win than us and we'll have a loss, one more loss. So we'll go ahead of them in the thing because we all think Denver's going to win. So that's going to push both teams out. So we're gonna go ahead of Cincinnati with our draft pick. We can move up another three slots or maybe four. Depends on if a whole bunch of teams start tying and with this. Ooh, I think The Colts already lost 9 games, right? So we can't get ahead of them. No. No, we won't, because they beat us.
Yes.
So we can. So actually, since they beat us, we would need the Colts to win. I just thought about it. I just worked this out of my brain. If the Colts win and we lose, we would go ahead of them in the draft.
That'd be great.
So actually, we can go up 4 slots. How about that? We can. We got a shot at moving up to 10th, I think, or, you know, 9-11, you know? Exactly. So I just did that in my mind. So we need to be rooting for the Colts to win if we know the Jets do their part. You know, we could get ahead of the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they own the tiebreaker over us. Yes. So we would have a higher pick than them.
Wow.
But anyway,
that's Larry, perfect, man. Hey, it's all in motion, Larry. We just trying to work some things out, man.
Yes.
We got to work some things out, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey. It's been a good season, though.
It's been too long. It's been a good season. But I appreciate you for coming on the last week of the NFL season. I knew I had to have you on for a Jets game.
Yes.
For a Jets game, yeah.
I'm hyped, bro. I appreciate you having me on. I love being on the
field. Are we on this Tuesday?
Yes, we are.
We'll do next year, Larry K. With MetLife. I'm gonna come up there next year. I'll be at the MetLife next year.
Cool. Next year should be
fun. It's probably gonna be early in the season, because that'll be my second MetLife.
So yeah, we'll link crypto. We'll do it. And thanks both of you for having me on. I love being on this channel. I love being on the show with you guys. We're on this Tuesday. Larry Lucci, G, and Shake. So come join us over there. No matter what happens with the Jets and the Dolphins, no matter what happens with playoffs, we'll be on there talking about it. So join us over there on the Fanatic Fury channel. And just thanks to both you guys for having me on, Shake. You're the man. I love the fact that you looked open the hat. And the questions you ask always when I come on, and the thought you give, the format of every show I'm on, it's just always a pleasure to work with you and to be on with you, especially when you take the lead like this. It's fun. I get to chill back and just answer questions. I really appreciate all of it. And I
know how I feel on Tuesdays.
Yes, I know. Yep. Tuesdays are different, but.
But no.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And listen, I appreciate, I'm as crazy as this may sound, it's like, you know how, you know, it's good to have someone like you to, you always have good positive reinforcements. You motivate me to keep on going. So same thing with El Capitan, and I appreciate y'all for all the positive feedbacks and helping me along the way. I couldn't have done it without you, so.
Bro, I love it.
Much appreciated, man. I have to give you props, man, and I appreciate you for supporting me and always having my back, no matter what.
100%, bro, and the feeling's mutual on that, and I appreciate you having mine, because it's not always easy out here, and having you there with the ideas and holding it down so many nights and whatnot is just a godsend. So, you know, this like you always say, bro, this team may let us down sometimes, but the community and the people we meet doesn't. So it's been an absolute pleasure, my brother.
Any final thoughts before we out of here?
Look, man, I just think, like what Crypto said, at the end of the day, you know, it's been a rough season, I think, because I've lost a little faith in this iteration of the Dolphins. And, you know, just don't follow the narratives. No matter what Ross does, guys, keep your eyes on the objective reality, because it's better for you. It's better for our conversations. And you could still enjoy the games and still have fun, but understand what's really going on and understand what we really have that's going for us and what's going against us. And don't fall victim to the narratives. And by the way, don't get stressed by the arguments that happen within the community sometimes. Take a step back and enjoy life. It's not all about arguing and trying to be right. Just have a conversation and take a step back. That's all I got, man.
All right, that's what's up. And Crypto, anything from you, my brother?
Hang on. Yeah, I'm here. I was loading them up, Charles. What was that?
Any final thoughts?
Enjoy the game. Remember, wins are losses and losses are wins.
All right, man. Hey, I'll see you later on today. I'll see y'all later on today. I'm gonna have a cafecito on the Fins tailgate
tomorrow, right?
11 o'clock. Come join me, and fins up.